Hi everybody, welcome to Kol Shmanach and Berachah. Tonight's Erev Yom Kippur Shir. Tonight is Sunday, September 28, 2025. Tonight's Shir is 245. First of all, Gershit Shkoyach, everybody for joining us tonight. I know it's busy, a lot of things happening. We're getting ready for Yom Kippur, we just finished Rosh Hashanah. Tonight, I want to thank all the people for posting it, letting people know about it. There's a lot of people posting around, and I really appreciate that. Again, it's a sikh saverim, a place to grow together. And I said, not every shir is negated to everybody, but everybody should post because you never know who's negated to. But tonight's shir, negated to anybody who has a pulse because it's a very important topic. And thank you all for joining and for letting people know about it tonight. Want to first let anybody know that if you want to join the WhatsApp chat, you can WhatsApp me at 732-314-1710. I'll send you the community chat link. I'll also post it on the Zoom chat. You can also go to menachemberful.com and sign up for his flyers, where he posts the speakers and the replays and all the things that are happening on Kol Shmoneh Menachem planet. For all the people that are watching this on YouTube, you can click on the subscribe button, you can also click on the like button. So every time Menachem posts a share, you get to know about it right away, right after we do it. Thank you to all the advertising sponsors, Lakewood Scoop here in Lakewood, Eli and Ariel from Five Town Central, and Chaya Kaufman from JCN for posting on the Jewish digital platforms. The Kol Shmoneh Menachem show is sponsored by OKClarity.com. OKClarity.com is the largest mental health and wellness directory of the Jewish global world. It's the only place that you can find amazing therapists, psychiatrists, nutritionists, and yes, even coaches as big and as best as Coach Menachem over there. Okay, Clarity is amazing. WhatsApp status, you can join it. Menachem will send the links and the email so you can join their statuses and see what's going on. Anybody who's here the first time, every Sunday night at 9 p.m., we do a different shir, and we'll be doing this. We're in our sixth year, and Hashem, the next shir is going to be after Yom Tov, which is going to be October 19th. Keep in mind the next week is Erev Sukkos, and then you have all the Sukkos Yom Tovim, and we go straight into Simchas Torah. So much Hashem, October 19th with the next year. We have a big lineup coming up after Yom Tovim. So please join us. Looking forward. We're going to first start with tonight's Shir. Shir is 245. Menachem will first give us the Gematria for Shir 245. B'shem of Erner Yechfried is not available tonight. And then Menachem, you'll open it up with the opening and why are we here tonight. Menachem, take it away.
Okay, so first regards from our Arnoy Fried. He's busy tonight, so the gematria that he has, especially Yom Kippur, is a time to. We're going to be talking about forgiveness, doing good deeds for chaverim to friends, and that's where it starts. So the gematria that he has is 245. Is gematria chein be'enei ha'adam. So shkoyach of Arnoyach. We'll have to see if it stims. Okay, so welcome everyone to another Let's Get Real with Coach Menachem. Baruch Hashem with Lav Siyata Dishmaya. We're doing Shir number 245 and Gemar Chasima Toiva. It's a few days before Yom Kippur, and it is a time where we do some self introspection for those who have some time or don't have the fear. Because many people have a hard time trying to see what's going on, figure it out. You can have two people doing the same thing and doing tshuva, regrets, Yom Kippur, fasting, and Matzah Yom Kippur. You have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven walks out, he's all excited, feels clean. Starts fresh, watch his mouth, then he's nice to other people and he's excited to build the sukkah. And then you have the other person, Shimon, who thinks to himself, been there, done that. We've been doing this for so many years. Okay, I'm doing what I have to do, but next. So the question is, what's the difference? They're both doing the same thing. Why does somebody feel it's real? And the other one is, he hopes, he tries, he doesn't know. So it really boils down to that belief of how deep is that belief? Do I really believe it? I really believe that Hashem is Moichel? All my Averis. Could you imagine if you think about it? So I mention it to people, Hashem is your Moichel, your Averis. They say, oh yeah, only if you do tshuva, only that, or this. Yeah. This is, we're discussing it. If you do the tshuva, you do what you have to do. Hashem, Moichel, your Averis, you start fresh. Isn't that amazing? So it is hard for some people to really believe or connect with. I want to take it to a little deeper level. It could boil down to, if do I really believe, can I forgive myself for the mistakes that I made, for the part that I'm not perfect. And I last year I tried, 2 years ago I tried, and sometimes it feels like I'm doing the same thing, it's not changing, but deep down we know we're growing. So I think it does boil down to the concept of being able to accept yourself the way you are, to be able to self-acceptance, which could be hard for many people. And now a time of doing self-introspection is a time that we have to face ourselves. Can I accept myself the way I am? I think that that's the only way we can forgive ourselves. And if I believe I can forgive myself, then Hashem could forgive me. But if I walk around saying, if I have a hard time looking in the mirror, really believing that, I'm doing my best and I can forgive myself, then I won't really believe that Hashem is forgiving me. So it's something to discuss, and it's work. It doesn't happen overnight. People work on this. I've been coaching people, being able to look at themselves and just that shift mindset of what are you telling yourself about yourself? Wow, that can be very hard. How long can you walk around just being so harsh on yourself? And if you can start with yourself, then you can forgive the people around you. But that's in general. Tonight's program is, a lot of people sent in their emails. People are going through really have been hurt by people, which many times is just too hard. They can't. And what am I supposed to do? I can't. And they feel guilty. And then if I can't, then Hashem is not going to give me. How in the world does that work? Especially if the pain is ongoing, if whatever's happening is still happening, whether it's in a relationship or whatever it is, how do we forgive? So I'm happy to have Rabbi Fisher with us tonight to help us discuss it. How? And to figure out what does forgiveness mean, how do we do this practically? And Mitzvah Hashem shall help us all. We're trying. We want to be good. We want to be there. We connect to Hashem. Do the right thing. We daven to Hashem. Help us. Help us. Teach us how. So thank you. Thank you. Especially you're muted.
Coach Menachem, thank you for that beautiful opening. Okay, let's just lay out some things over here. We'll get going. Okay, so tonight's shiur is Rabbi Yoni Fisher, Yom Kippur, the Day of Forgiveness, from pain to peace, forgiving those who've hurt us deeply, and opening our hearts to Hashem's forgiveness. I'm going to read his bio, and give me a minute, I have some things to say. Number one, Rabbi Yoni Fisher's bio. Rabbi Yoni Fisher is a Rebbe, mentor, and guide to so many deep, with his deep respect, interest, non-judgmental, and his love for his students and Talmidim from Fishers and everybody. He's known for his daily interactive morning shiur, which focuses on self-growth and judgments favorably to others. Rabbi Fisher leads the students into a way to focus on becoming amazing husbands. Tonight's episode is partially sponsored in part by the Fisher Yeshiva Moms Chat in honor of Rabbi Yoni Fisher, who instills in our boys Yisoides HaTorah, coupled with strong dose of emotional wellness. With his keen wisdom and insight, has transformed not only our sons but our families as well, teaching us to keep the main thing. Rabbi Fisher is preparing our boys to step into adulthood, ready to face today's challenges and to become devoted husbands, fathers. As we look forward to a year of growth and continuous nachas, we remain forever indebted with gratitude. Gemar Chasima Tova. And somebody texted me right before the share. Two things happened, so I have to say. Somebody texted me before the share, a personal thing I do business with, and we didn't speak for a little bit because he owed me some money. And I told him, Michael him, just because we didn't speak, and he's a good guy. And then one of Menachem's people that he coaches said that they went through tremendous amounts of pain, and Menachem, through coaching them, really helped them to get to a place of acceptance, and he really helped them tremendously. So he has a tremendous amount of credit to Coach Menachem for really guiding his client. So Coach Menachem, Shkoyach. Rabbi Fisher, you can tell everybody how the share came apart, how it came about, how we've been working on this for many, many years to finally come up with the topic and the thing, and why we chose you, and we gave you the easiest topic to talk about. Rabbi Fisher, the floor is yours.
Okay, wow. Thank you. It's literally humbling
One second
to be
pause,
here.
just for everybody who doesn't understand. Rabbi Fisher
Yeah.
woke up today at 3 a.m. in the morning. It's 4 o'clock in the morning by him. So the best time to ask him every question, because now it's coming straight without a lot of thinking. It's coming straight from the heart. Sorry, continue.
Okay. Hi. Okay. Thank you, Coach Menachem. Thank you, Oshi. Thank you, everybody here. L like I said before, it's humbling. It's humbling to be here for many reasons. Number one, Stam, Aser Smei Tshuva, and this time for all of us is a very deep, deep time. It's a very confusing time in a certain way, which hopefully we could talk about. I could talk for myself. It's a it's mamash a schus. You know, I was thinking of this whole platform and everything that we're doing here. You know, is part of Ish Esrei Yazoru Uliachiv Yomer Chazak, and I say this with full as honest as I think I'm being over here, and that is that I don't look at myself as any much of an expert or any more than anyone else, and I'm not just saying this to sound humble and cute about forgiveness, Yom Kippur, Aseres Mei Tshuva. That's why I say it's humbling. I think the us just getting together and listening to each other, talking with each other about it, about forgiveness, about how we can try and go into Yom Kippur, not just into Yom Kippur, just living now, these days that we know. Chazal tell us, Tirshu Hashem, be Matzoi, to search out Hashem when He's close to us, whether we feel it or not. We don't always feel the closeness, which we'll talk about. But Dirshu Hashem be Matzai, Kara'u b'yaseh karayv. This is a time where Hashem is close to us in reality. Again, yihu loy chazi, but mazalei chazi, even if we don't experience it or feel it, which is one of the things we're going to talk about, because forgiveness is in the lave. Forgiveness is not a seichel thing, which we'll talk more, Mitzvah, which I look forward to. I'm going to give a little bit of a hakdama, but I'm really looking forward more to discussing. This is not something that is so simple for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's really what I want to start off with. For Hashem, it's pretty simple. Coach Menachem, you referenced something, and I just want to share this with everybody. This is not me. This is something that I speak about every Yom Kippur night in Yeshiva, at night on Yom Kippur. We have two things. I'm going to sort of give a little bit what we do Yom Kippur. I don't have the opportunity for it to be recorded or this on Yom Kippur, obviously, but I guess it's a schus that I'm able to share what the slicha and the forgiveness from Hashem to us is, and then we'll talk about what we do afterwards. Afterwards, I go with the chevra, with the guys. It's one of my favorite moments of my life. We sit afterwards on the grass. Anyone who's been in our campus, B'li Ayin Hara, Baruch Hashem, we have a beautiful campus, and we sit till, I don't want to say the wee hours. Now it's a little bit more the wee hours, 4 in the morning. We don't go that late, but I would go that late if need be, and we talk. The chevra, the guys in yeshiva, myself, together, we talk about this. We talk about forgiveness, and we talk about life, and we talk about what Yom Kippur means, and that's really the highlight, which we're going to get to, Mirtz Hashem, tonight, which I'm excited to. But the first thing I start off with is, Coach Menachem, you mentioned this, and it's straight out. This is from the Sefer. I don't know if it goes backwards. L'doivke b'tshuva. This is a Sefer, just to give a quick, I'm going to be quick on this, and then I really want to get into discussing. I want to talk about the L'doivke b'tshuva is a Sefer on Hilchos Tshuva from the Rambam. The Rambam has Hilchos Tshuva. His name is Reb Uri Tigger. He was Reb Chaim Kanievsky's editor. He edited a lot of the Sfarim, could be all the Sfarim. Reb Chaim, very close with Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim Kanievsky gives a, he writes on the footnotes over here of everything Reb Uri says. And I read this every Yom Kippur night because Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, everything we're going to say right now is true. He says, Nachon. MS Nachon on the side. If anybody wants to look it up, in the Sefer Ledovkei B'Tshuva. I'm just sharing what the Tzaddikim, what the Rambam, Reb Chaim Kanievsky tells us about Yom Kippur. Now, this alone might trigger everybody in a good way, because trigger usually we associate in a negative way. This is going to make you, this is like a foundation that challenges people, because it's like, wait, it's too good to be true. So first we're going to talk about Hashem klape us, just quickly for a few minutes here. And then we're going to go to the courtyard of the yeshiva, like we do the night of, I mean, not literally, we're going to go there. And we're going to talk about something that changed my life. And maybe that's why I'm here right now. And here it goes. On page Lamed Ches in the Sefer. So if anybody wants to look it up, you could look it up. And I read. Yom HaKippurim is something that even if Klal Yisrael, even if somebody did not do tshuva, still, if Miksas Mi Yisrael Asu tshuva, if some of the Jewish people did tshuva, the Kol Shekein Rubam, for sure, if most of them, Agavayu Nimchal Liyachid, you are Nimchal, this is crazy, you're Nimchal, even if you didn't do teshuva, Afilu Im Hulo Asa Tshuva. I'm not getting into details what that means. If you're Kolel Asmoi Ba'adas Yisrael, and I say this to the guys in yeshiva, you're in yeshiva. Anybody who's listening to Coach Menachem now, anyone who's here, anyone who identifies himself as a Jew, Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, true. I'm reading. Kivan, now this is a little bit, just bear with me. Rebbe holds that Yom HaKippurim is Mechaper Afilu Im Lo Asa Tshuva. It's a machlokas. Do I have to do tshuva on Yom Kippur? Which most of us do. Anyone who fasts, anyone who tries, anyone who puts on a skull cap, anybody who shows up to shul, anybody who even thinks that it's Yom Kippur, for sure is connected. But even someone, which is crazy, considers himself a Jew, Hashem is Meichel, him or her. That's what Rebbe holds. Rabbanan hold, no, you need tshuva. Now, even though we usually paskin like the Rabbanan, he says over here, the halacha is like the yachid b'shas hatchak, which means when it's a difficult time, we paskin like the yachid, like Rebbe, and you're nimchul on your averis, even if you didn't do tshuva. Here he goes. Kivan shel ischarip alev shalem kasha. It's difficult for a person to do full tshuva, right? That's one of the Yetzaharas. I don't know if we'll talk about that tonight. I didn't really do tshuva. I really didn't do tshuva. He says, no, since you have no, it's difficult for a person to know that. And it's very personal. Mizekasha ma'od, imkein, now it's a shas hatchak. And the halacha is like Rebbe, which means we're forgiven for all of our averis comes Matz Yom Kippur. Some hold this even in the beginning of Yom Kippur. Some people hold this mamish the second Yom Kippur comes in. So Hashem, our Father, our loving Father, Chazal teach us very, very clearly that a person on Yom Kippur is nimchol, is machol, totally forgiven for all of his or her averis. It's one of the reasons the Chiddush Yerim says why we say Al-Chait Matzah Yom Kippur in Ma'ariv. They ask, what am I already saying Al-Chait Matzah Yom Kippur? Zak the Chiddush Yerim. The Chiddush Yerim says the reason we clap Al-Chait is because in case there's a little piece of me or a part of me, as we talk nowadays with IFS, a part of me thinks that I'm not Nimchal, I have to clap Al-Chait, that of course it's a mechila. And I'll end off with one piece, and then I would love to talk about the other side in a second. I remember I try and go over to my children, Mirtz Hashem, I should be zocher to do that this year again, and my wife, now that I'm saying it publicly for sure, and I ask mechila. I'm a human being, and I have a lot to work on, and I try and ask my children, the younger ones, it's much more gishmak, because they just say sometimes exactly what I need to hear. The older ones have more covered, like, no, Tati, we don't want to say. I say, I want to ask Mechila, whatever it might be, whatever I have to work on, I ask Mechila. So I once asked my son, Erev Yom Kippur, are you Meichel me, Tati? I made him uncomfortable. What does that mean, blah, blah. And then afterwards, he's a very special, everyone's special. He's a tzaddik of a kid like that. And he says, Tati, I want to ask, are you Meichel me? So I told him, his name's Nechemya. I said, Nechemya, I want to tell you something. Emir Teshem, you'll see this when you're a father. You don't have to ask me if I'm Meichel you. I'm your father. Of course I'm Meichel you. For a son not to be Meichel a father, for a child not to be Meichel a parent, that's a normal thing. For a father not to be Meichel a child, you don't even have to ask me that question. Of course I am Meichel you, believe Shalim. Believe Shalim. And it's one of the reasons we have for the Shliach Tzibur, we have somebody who has children, someone who is, because he can understand that, of course, Hashem is the Av HaRachamon. Hashem loves and wants. I know in Slichas we say, where I put the Slichas, in Slichas we say constantly that Hashem is Mar B'Lisloyach, and he just loves to forgive. He wants to forgive. I think Coach Menachem was mentioning, of course, it's come. We'll talk about this now, that it comes from, can I imagine forgiving myself? We'll talk about that. I want to end off, and this is going to turn, I think, the whole thing. I don't want to jump the gun, but I'm going to jump the gun right now. So we go and we talk about how amazing Hashem is. Hashem is amazing, and he is amazing, and he loves us, and he forgives us, whether we feel it, whether we don't feel it. It's truer than this conversation that we're having right now, my voice, and that I know that I'm sitting here right now, and I know that that's true. It's more true than that, that Hashem is Meichel each and every one of us with love and so much love. And we'll talk more about that. We get into the courtyard. I think this happened last year. We get in the thing and we're all schmoozing around forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. And here's the twist, and I'm gonna let it go from here. One of the boys asked me, says, I don't understand. This is going to be heavy, so I'm just giving everybody a warning. Why do I have to ask Hashem for forgiveness? Doesn't Hashem have to ask me for forgiveness? Hashem has hurt me. I'm hurt. I've been through a lot. And then another boy, in the beginning, I was like, okay, like that's not what we. I've ever heard that. I've been in yeshiva. I, what does that mean? Well, it's Yom Kippur. Like, what do you mean? Ashamnu, bagadnu, and the whole conversation switched to like how I feel in my life towards Hashem. Like maybe Hashem has to ask me. And I know I'm embarrassed, Erev Yom Kippur, even to mention this. I'm embarrassed because there's a part of me that's not even bishlamus with myself. Talking like this, but it's true. It's MS. It's a real open, honest question. If somebody feels that way, if someone feels that, why am I always asking for Hashem for forgiveness? How come he doesn't need to ask forgiveness from me? And I'm going to end off with that because I think that that's a forum to talk because it's all about. It's all about us trying to be honest with ourselves and to be honest with Hashem and to be honest with where we're at. Forgiveness is not, our relationship with Hashem is not just, you know, what we should do, what we should do, what we should do. It's about having an honest relationship with somebody. And that honest relationship, as the Mesil Sharm says, Gam hu misug ha'oyavim, Hashem is a relationship also. Which means I want to be able to be open with Hashem. I want to be able to, yes, Hashem loves me. I know maybe cognitively, I know in my mind, Hashem loves me, Hashem loves me. But maybe I have hurt. Maybe I have hurt. Maybe I have hurt from other, you know, one of the things we'll speak about, you know, oh, it's all from Hashem. It's all from Hashem. It's all from Hashem. We say in, I don't know why I don't have my slichas here. I have it here. I'll say it from here. It says, and I saw it in Slichas this year for the first time. I've been saying Slichas for many, many years. And I'm going to end off with this point. We say in Slichas, I couldn't believe it. I was like, how come I never paid attention to this. It says in Slichas, in the Or Scroll, if anyone wants to look, this is one of the Slichas we did tonight, page 913 in the Or Scroll Slichas. Mache umase, O God who wounds, umase, and who heals. Namis umachaye, who causes death and who restores life, etc. He raises the dead from the grave, lechaye alma, but it says straight out. I think that Yom Kippur, and I think this discussion is going to be and is about relationships. It's about relationships. As I said before, the Mesil Zisharm says, Gam hu misug ha'oyhavim. Hashem is a relationship also. It's not a one-way relationship that I have to beg for mercy. We do, of course, of course, of course, whatever that means, we know. But Hashem wants me to be involved in this relationship also. And it goes both ways. I need to be able to express myself. Hashem wants me to express myself. Okay, I'm going to end off with that. And there's a lot, I'm sure, to say. And I would love to hear from everyone. And thank you for listening.
Okay, Fisher, for the opening. Okay, let's start off with the polls. We have a three-question poll. Everybody answer to the best of your ability. Here we go. First question is there someone in your life who has hurt you very deeply? Four possible answers. In the past, I'm over it and forgave them. Option two, in the past, but I cannot forgive that person. Maybe never, maybe ever. C, it's happening currently, and it's hard for me to function because of it. Or D, people have hurt me, but Baruch Hashem, I always forgave them right away. First question. Second question. What makes forgiveness hardest for you? Number one, the person never apologized. B, the pain still affects my life today. C, I don't want to let them off the hook / injustice. Like it just doesn't feel right. Not right. Or D, I tried but still feel anger. The third question has five possible answers. What would help you move forward and forgive? Number one, understanding what forgiveness really means. B, feeling safe enough to let go. C, knowing Hashem understands my pain and ultimately came from him. D, hearing other stories and realizing I'm not alone, people that went through the same things. Or the last answer, knowing that if I forgive, I will receive a bigger reward from Hashem. Like somebody did something so bad to me and I forgive them and I know that I need this thing that it will work, I'll do it. Like what will you need to move forward and forgive? Those are the three questions. Very light questions, Rabbi Fisher. Rabbi Yom Kippur, I don't want to stress anybody out. Okay, give them a few seconds to answer. Three more seconds. Three, two, one. All right, here we go. Now we're going to share with everybody and we'll go through each one, Rabbi Fisher. Ready? You like this, Rabbi Fisher, huh?
I love this. I love it. God bless you.
First question. Sharing the results now with everybody. Is there someone in your life who hurt you very deeply? Number one answer, 36% said, in the past, I'm over it and I forgave them. So most people here went through something like this that we're talking about tonight, and they, Baruch Hashem, were able to forgive them. 23% of the people that had happened in the past, but I cannot forgive that person maybe ever. They're still, Adiyam is a not marichalim. Three, it's happening currently, and it's hard for me to function because of it. 25% of the people. 16% of the people have hurt me, but Baruch Hashem, I always forgive them right away. So it seems like most people have been hurt here, and people are still struggling with it. There are, you know, people that eventually gave in, but some people just, Rabbi Fisher, what do you say to this?
I say this is beautiful that you're doing this, and this is amazing. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what the question is. I think that this shows how incredible everybody is and how unbelievable, you know, I am over it and forgave them. That's a me. I mean, I'm not sure what the question is. This is so powerful. So powerful.
Let's go to the second question. What makes forgiveness hardest for you? 21% of the people say the person never apologized.
Yeah.
46% of the people, most people here say the pain still affects my life today. 9%, I don't want to let them off the hook injustice. 25% of people, I tried to forgive them, but with everything, I still feel anger.
Can you show? I don't know if I could see the number two over here. How do I see the second thing? Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah. Look at that 46%. The pain still affects my life today. What's that on?
What makes forgiveness so hard for you to forgive? So 46% is why they can't forgive it, because they're still suffering from whatever the person did to them today. So they can't forgive because somebody 10 years ago did something to them.
Because it's not 10 years ago. It's still happening now.
Right?
It's
Because it's
still,
affecting them today.
they live with that.
Let's go to the final poll, and then we'll get to the questions. I'm sure people have questions because this is the topic. What would help you move forward and forgive? What would actually help you? 16% of the people understanding what forgiveness really means. 29% of the people feeling safe enough to let go. The number one answer that people are saying, 36% of the people, knowing Hashem understands my pain,
Understand my pain.
that it ultimately came from Him. If they actually believed it and know that Hashem knows it and know that it 100% came from Hashem, then they would be able to move forward and forgive. 8% of the people hearing other stories and realizing I'm not alone. 11% of the people knowing that if I forgive, I will receive a big reward from Hashem. So it's interesting. People are not even looking for the reward. They don't. The main thing they want to know is feeling safe. But the number one thing is they want to really trust that Hashem did it to them, and that Hashem understands their pain.
Yes, that's. I think that key is understands my pain. I think if you would have written here, knowing Hashem understands my pain. I think everyone knows that ultimately it comes from Hashem. I think we know that in our minds. I think that Hashem understands my pain. I think that that's where it starts, that he understands my pain, and he's with me in my pain, and he accepts the fact that I'm in pain, and doesn't. Yeah, can I go over here? Or she, are we am I good?
Fisher, the floor is yours. Let me just end. I'm ending the polls.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Before you just go, I just want to say one thing. Anybody who wants to ask questions, please, Rabbi Fisher is here. Ask anything and everything, anything that's in your mind, we hear the answer.
Welcome.
And Rabbi Fisher, continue.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I think for me, I could listen, I think this is I would love to see these polls and like analyze them more and just that which is most, personal is most universal, which means that when you feel a certain way, you're probably, a lot of times we second guess ourselves because we feel a certain way. But most of the time that deep feeling is very universal, and most people feel that same way. I think that knowing that Hashem feels my pain and he's with me in my pain, and like it hurts him, just like a father to a son, a mother to a daughter, a parent to a child, that it's not like, oh, because you messed up, because you're bad, because you deserve it. I mean, I don't know how little, I don't know, I'm not Hashem, and none of us are Hashem. And we don't understand Hashem's ways, and Hashem is perfect. We know that. Hashem is the only thing that's perfect. Hashem is perfect. We're humans, and we live in a world that is imperfect, and we're imperfect. And I think when we know that Hashem accepts me, I think Coach Menachem, you were speaking about this. When a person realizes, or Oshia, you as well. When a person, realizes that Hashem just accepts me for who I am with my imperfections. That's the irony. That's the paradox. I think that's the confusion of Yom Kippur. More Yom Kippur's. That's why I read what I read from Reb Chaim Kanievsky. From that, like it's pretty straightforward that Hashem forgives us totally on Yom Kippur. I think what's confusing is when we feel pain and we know that it's from Hashem and we're like, why are you putting me through pain? Like, why are you hurting me? You know, so whatever schmooze, whatever musar schmooze you're going to give and say that, oh, it's the best for you. You know, it's the, you know, I always tell the guys, and I say this to myself, we're all, you know, anyone who's read anything about parenting or tried to be a good parent, a good person, your child hurts themselves, falls off a bike, a little kid, right? Be more careful next time. Why don't you this? Why don't you that? Those are the last things to say. The first thing is to put your arm around your child and to say, are you okay? Not because we're in 2025. Not because we're weak. Because we're human. I like that. I like that. I like that. We're not weak. We're human. And we have hurt. And that's why it was so powerful when the person said, and it's hard for me to still say it. I got to work on myself. And really, I said this last time when I spoke about this to someone, when someone said, oh, how come Hashem doesn't have to ask me for forgiveness? And I'm like, I'm afraid to talk about it publicly because maybe I'm afraid Hashem's going to hurt me. But that's not healthy. Why is that healthy that I'm afraid that I can't be open and say that people are hurt and all they want is a hug and they want to feel safe. And I mean, we said slichas tonight. I'm not complaining. Hashem is the best, and Hashem is perfect, and Hashem does. I know that. I know that. But it's, we had a siren during slichas tonight, not to scare any parents who might be on this. You know, there was a siren. Yeah, there was a siren. Yes, there's a siren. That's scary. I get nervous when there's a siren. We've had hundreds of sirens, but you get nervous. You get nervous, and it's like, what do we do? We're sitting here saying slichas, Hashem, Hashem, kara, and I'm not complaining, chas v'shalom. I'm not tining. I'm sharing my feelings. And Hashem loves us. What do we do with our spouse when they're hurting? Not, oh, the men need to do this and the women now do this. Nowadays, we all need the empathy and we all need the love. We all need the empathy. It's not old. We're not old school anymore. We're not in Europe anymore. I'm a son of a Holocaust survivor. We have different, I'm not comparing Holocaust, but I'm saying we have different pain that's going on. And there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of divorce. I don't blame anyone who divorced. There are kids who have to choose between parents and it's complicated. There's a lot of hurt that people have that they carry. And all I want is someone to just validate that I'm hurt and it's okay that you're hurting. Not even it's okay that you're hurting. It's good. I don't mean good in a sadistic way. Baruch Hashem, you have feelings and you hurt and someone hurt you. And when it comes Yom Kippur time and it comes a time where it's all about my relationship with Hashem, it's like, but I'm not allowed to say anything. I have to just say, what did I do wrong? And I'm bad and I better do good. I don't know. That's pretty intense. That is pretty, pretty intense. I just want to feel close to you, Hashem. And sometimes what I think it says, Mipanecha Evrach Elecha. We run away from Hashem, but then we have to run towards him. It's complex. So I think the knowing Hashem, and then I'll give back the floor. I told you this is gonna get me right. This is everything. This is everything about relationship. This is like gold. This is beautiful. This is like life. This is marriage. This is being a parent. This is being a Jew. This is being a neighbor. This is not using your horn when you're driving. And I know that's a toughie. I haven't used, and I get an applause from the yeshiva when I say this. Over 10 years, I don't use a horn when I'm driving. And I live in Israel. I hope I'm allowed to say that, right? Not that everyone gets that. I don't use a horn. I don't want to beep at somebody and say, yeah, go, get moving. I want to be loving and nice. I don't want to, sensitive. People talk, oh, you're sensitive. We're all sensitive. What does that mean? You're more sensitive. You're this. Everybody's sensitive. Everybody's hurting. Everybody wants just a hug. And I mean, I don't have to tell you what we've all been through. October 7th, Simchas Torah. I have to tell everybody, Lev Yodea Maras Nafshai. Everybody is hurting. Everybody, and it's not, we're not old school anymore. We're like, okay, feelings, not feelings. It doesn't matter. We're here. And I want to feel that love. I want to feel that I'm okay. I want to feel safe. Okay. I keep
There's a
on
lot
going.
of questions.
I'm telling you,
There's a
go.
lot of questions. A lot of questions. A
I
lot of
know.
questions. A
Sure,
lot of
let's
questions.
go. Let's go.
Okay, here we go.
Siyata Dishmaya.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, thank you. You hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, my question is as follows. And I know I'm divorced, and I know, unfortunately, a lot of people can relate to this question. It happens like in divorce sometimes when ex-spouses like just want to hurt each other like in ways which sometimes is it's hard to believe that people can behave this way. But specifically for me, it was around my child's wedding, things that my ex-husband did just to hurt me and humiliate me, the mother of the. And I don't know. I want to forgive because I think forgiveness is for oneself. And it's hard. I think a lot about it because not forgiving, I think, is holding on to resentment is never good. And as a yid, but I don't know. Some things are like hard. Hard to forgive. I mean, the day of the wedding, it was like to me, like all I could think of was, I hope in a previous Gilgal, I didn't do this to someone else because it didn't make sense that a human being can behave with such cruelty to, a mother of a child. I mean, I can see from, retrospectively, I know my ex-husband was very, very true. Very abused as a child. And I think when people are abused, they sometimes, certain people trigger them and they kind of let out their anger at whoever it is in their way. But some things are not excusable. Yes, I would like to be free of this burden.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing that. Just to share my thought, is that I'll just read it because I have it right here. In Mesillas Yesharim in Perek Yud Aleph, he says very clearly that that somebody who doesn't feel that hurt and is able to get over it, he says, is only easy for an angel. He says it straight out. These aren't my words. Only an angel is able to just not feel anything and forgive, and all is good. For a person, a human being, it's very, very difficult when someone hurts us. Whatever things, whatever quotes and sayings we're going to say that I have to let go and hurt people, and you're and he's hurt, and my it must be because of, and these are all true, that I wish I could let go, right? What's one of my favorite lines about forgiveness? It's not about letting him off the hook. It's about taking the hook out of your heart. Well, guess what? It's very hard to take the hook out of your heart. So we want to say, I know it's all me and I have to let go. It's only easy for an angel to let go. And I think one of my favorite lines that came to me the last few years is, it's not about moving on. Everybody wants to move on. It's about moving in. Everyone's trying to move on. Stop trying to move on and move in. Try and accept. And again, I'm not even telling you what to do. I don't know you, and I'm it's easy for me to say, to just talk, but I know when someone hurts me, someone cuts me off. I'm talking about my not using my horn. Who cares if somebody cuts you off? When someone really hurts someone, it's kol amavir al midosav mavir lo al kol pshav is you're totally cleansed. Anyone who could do that, and it's I think we need to learn. And I'm not at all preaching at all. I'm sharing. I think this, that's why I love what we're doing right here. We have to learn that it's okay that I'm hurt. You're valid for being hurt. It makes sense. Makes sense is cognitive. It's deeper than that. You're hurt. You're hurt. And it doesn't matter what that person, whatever excuse. And yes, you got to take the hook out of your heart and you're letting someone live rent free, right? I say it's not even living, let someone rent free in your mind, in your heart. You know, when you hold a grudge, that's the quote. You're letting someone, it's not even rent free. You're paying them. It's painful, so painful. And we don't know why these things happen. It could be you did nothing. No, it could be. You probably did nothing wrong. And why Hashem does that, I don't know anything. I'm a regular guy. How do we know? We have no idea. We have no idea. But yeah. God bless you, and Hashem should help. Hashem should help. That's all I could say. It should help heal you. Mache umase. Hashem is the one who hurts. And I know that's hard to... He will heal. He will heal at the right time. Don't try and force the heal. I guess that's the pshat. Don't try and force it. Move in more and feel the pain. And it's hard sometimes to feel that pain and to live in the pain.
Okay, Mary, you're very official. Let's go to the next live question. You're on.
Hello, Rabbi Fisher. I just really wanted to say hi. But my question is not as heavy, but I think you kind of answered it while I was waiting in line. The question is, okay, so you're moda the pain, but where do you go next? I mean, I assume it's towards tefillah, but what do you do with it? Where do you take it? What's the next step? Where do we go from here?
I love that question, and I'm going to say just a classic answer that I think is true. I think it lets go of you when we really, really, I think that question in itself, and I get that question a lot, like, you know, what happens when I accept, like, you know, it's the old thing that I tell parents sometimes, like, you have to accept your son for who they are. You have to accept your son for who they are. Okay, great. Once I accept my son for who they are, okay, then is he going to change? Now what? Now what? It's like, no. Again, and I think, I'm talking to myself also. I'm talking to myself as well, Mrs. Lehrfeld. I'm talking to myself, Mamish. I think that we try and say, so what's next? I think that's not our job. I think our job, and I'm getting emotional thinking about it, our job is not to get rid of it. Our job maybe is to feel it. And maybe Hashem, then somehow or something happens that it lets go of us. We don't have to let go of it. There's a line that they say in 12 steps, and let go and let God. I'm like, just let go. Don't worry about let God. That's also controlling God. If I could just learn to just like accept that I'm hurting and this stinks, it's not what's next. It's like you did it and that's it, to hug myself, to learn to hug ourselves, to learn to somehow be there for ourselves. And then I don't know how Hashem makes it work, but somehow I know with my own journey, with my hurt that I've had, and the more I could just share this publicly, if there's one thing everyone hears, and it's so deep what I'm going to say right now. I still go to therapy. I love therapy, not for the sake of working on myself, just for the sake of having space for me, also working on myself, but it's more just giving myself space for Yoni. For this guy who needs a lot of space. I try and hold space for others, but I can't hold if I don't have people holding space for me. And I worked for years on someone who I felt hurt, and I couldn't accept the fact that I was hurt. I couldn't, I was fighting the fact, and I had such a breakthrough. And I wrote the person a letter. It was one of the most deepest things. I didn't give it to the person. I wrote a letter and I said, I'm so hurt. I'm so hurt. And now I could love the person so much more. Not because I said I gotta love that person. I never told myself I have to love that person more. I never said I'm gonna forgive that person. That wasn't the letter. The letter was that I'm hurt and you hurt me and you hurt me. And then somehow I feel okay. I feel a little bit better. So love the question. This is, it's almost like we don't, maybe Mashiach's gonna come. I don't know what happens. When Yom Kippur, I don't know how that works with Yom Kippur. Maybe we'll all just be in the, maybe just us all sitting here talking about this together is just, this is it. It's not about what's next. It's like, this is it. We're here.
Well, I do want to tell you the amazing journey that all of us as parents are going through our children with your help. It's taken us to places like Hecher Madrigas that you can't imagine. And for that journey, although it's painful, I think all of us would agree we wouldn't trade it for all the money in the world because we've come through it with so much understanding and knowledge and support. And for that, we thank you.
Oh, man, thank you so much. And I just want to end off with one thing as well with our children. V'heshev levavos al banim, v'lev banim al avosam. Our children are teaching us how to heal ourselves. We owe, I can't believe I'm crying.
I'm also crying. I've learned so much from this
child. No, but I just want to say something. You know, everyone talks about, oh, the kids, and they need so much. You know what's happening? That's what it says when Mashiach's going to come. We're going to learn from the children. And we need to love ourselves more. The old school, we don't know. I didn't have podcasts like this. We didn't talk about this.
I'm a generation before, so we for sure didn't have this.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Lairfeld. God bless you. Thank you.
Wow, I just want to mention.
Yeah.
The concept is powerful. We mentioned many times the grief process. And anytime a person goes through pain, or betrayal and relationship, whatever it is, there is a grief process. You just don't want it to be the way it is. You might be angry, upset, and there's all those emotions that come up. It's only after depression that acceptance comes in. And many people say, okay, fine, I'll allow myself to feel the depression because I want to get to the acceptance. But they don't realize if you're pushing it, then you're all the way in the beginning by denial. It's allowing yourself to feel whatever you feel and not trying to change it. Because many people ask, okay, so I'm feeling it. Now what?
Exactly.
Now what? It's like, okay, enough. I want to change it. Like, yeah, that's very hard. That's very, very hard. But we can't, you know, if this is the way you feel, then this is the way you feel. You can't change that feeling. And if you can accept, which is hard, accept that down feeling, that icky feeling, and then you can take a deep breath. Nothing changed, but then you can slowly see some sunlight. Enjoy the coffee. You know, slowly get back to a little bit of chias, where change happens, but not if you push it, and not if because you're trying to run away from the icky feeling. Again, it's not easy. But this is the generation of feelings. We have to understand how it works. And people are like, okay, fine. I'm feeling it already. Let's go. Let's go. It's hard.
Yes. And if I could just say, thank you, Coach Menachem. I could just say, and I know this might spur even more exciting things. Like who says I have to change it? People get nervous with that. Who says I have to change it? Maybe I'm just beautiful. Like we talk the talk. Like, oh, you're good just the way you are. And I'm, but is that, do I really feel that way? Do I, you know, we talk about, you know, loving, you know, and accepting, you know, do I love and accept myself? You know, v'ahavta l'recha kamoicha, right? If I hate my friend, I hate myself. Just like if I love my friend, I have to, that's right? Kol ha'paisel b'mumay paisel. So it's about maybe again, and I don't believe that you don't change when you love yourself. You change even more when you're not focused on changing. We naturally are beautiful. We're naturally so gorgeous, so beautiful. No, shchayra ani venava. Shchayra ani be'enei atzmi. I am dirty in my own eyes, but nava be'enei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm the problem, maybe. And I don't mean to beat yourself up because you're the problem, but I'm saying, yeah.
That's real tshuva, coming back to the beautiful self.
Exactly, exactly. That's what's crazy. What's crazy is the beauty of tshuva is that I'm actually okay. I just read that piece. Hashem's like, I love you. What did you do? He's saying, even if you did nothing, I love you. You know why? Lama kacha. Why? Just because. Just like when my kid says, Tati, but why do you forgive me? Forgive you. You're my son. I love you.
In Yibachar Yisraeli, right?
Exactly.
Got the Yidden in the worst Memtesh Shara Tomo in the
right.
world. You're my son. You're my child.
Right. Oshay, they say that it was given in Mitzrayim Dafka. Hashem told them in Mitzrayim, B'nei B'chayr Yisrael. Dafka, when you're in the darkness, as I've said over, ready for this one? Rabba emunasecha, moide ani lefanecha, melechai v'kayam. We all say it every morning. Shechzarati b'nishwaz, they say, what's Rabba emunasecha? Hashem has faith in me. There's a pshat. I give Rabbi Kalish credit for this because I think it was before he came. It was like a couple weeks before he came. And I said this over. I had this pshat that fell in my head. And I shared it when Rabbi Kalish, Baruch Hashem, always comes to the yeshiva. It's incredible. Not for now. But this pshat fell to me. Listen to this. We say, Rabbi Munasecha, that Hashem has faith in me. That's one of the pshatim. Rabbi Munasecha. I wake up in the morning. Rabbi Munasecha. Why don't we make it after I wash Netilas Yadayim? Okay, the Pashup Shot is because you don't say Hashem's name, so you don't have to wash. But why did the Chazal say, you know what? Wash your hands. Be a holy Jew a little bit. I'm Tomei. No, Hashem says, Rabbi Munasecha, while you're still in bed, Tomei, I have faith in you. That's Hashem says, even if you're dirty, even if you're hurt, even if you're whatever it is, I love you. I have faith in you.
Murdick, okay, we're getting warmed up. Let's go. Next live question. You're on.
We're just getting started. It's
just getting started.
My day's just getting started over here.
Hi.
Thanks for taking the time to answer the question. So it's a different type of question. What if you try to have a conversation with someone about something they did that hurt you and they know that they did, but every time they ask you just a flippant, are you mochami? And they'll come over to me after a share and they'll say, are you mochami now? I got the book. I'm doing it now. And then it just makes it worse. They're running away from having an honest, real conversation. They said, remember, you're hurting me. And they say that their status in life is something that makes me have to have more rahmanis for that person. And it's not that I don't forgive them. I do. But every time I just can't say it because they just keep on rubbing it in a way that's just so wrong and so raw. And so what they did was really, really, really outrageously difficult to me. And they don't even want to have a conversation. And they walk away from me when I try to have a conversation and talk to them. So what's my responsibility?
Stay away. I don't know what to tell you. Stay away. Stay away from someone like that. I know it's hard. Responsibility. Just stay away from someone who constantly. I want to say this in the most sensitive way.
And I don't know if that person's listening to this talk also. And I really like the person and I feel for the person.
Yeah.
It's just that there's something missing.
Yeah, I would stay away, and I would just take care of yourself and stay away from people who hurt you. I know that sounds so over simple, or I just really mean it. Like we have to be around people who who we feel safe with and we feel loved from. There's too much pain. It's too much already. We need to stay. And now again, it gets much more complex when it's someone who's a close family member or something, but it applies with that also. We have to learn to tell someone, you're hurting me. You know what? Sorry, let me say better. We have to learn to tell ourselves, you're hurting me by putting myself in a situation like that. And that hurts me. It doesn't mean we have to be like, I can't hang out with anyone because everyone's hurting me. But if you're being hurt, you got to protect yourself and you have to be there for yourself. And you have to make sure that you're taking care of yourself, that people can't hurt you. We have to protect ourselves, just like we would protect our own. Like I was telling Mrs. Lehrfeld before, like v'heshev lev avos abanim v'lev banim avosam. We have to learn to protect ourselves. Sometimes we put ourselves in situations and we try and be this big, like an angel. Like I need to protect myself and tell people that I tell myself that I can't be in situations where I'm hurt so much.
But if it's before Yom Kippur. And
what?
This person just giving me a very difficult time that I'm just not saying the words she wants me to say to her.
So what's your question?
Like, how can I communicate to this person, like, to be Mavir Amidosav and to say to the person in a way that maybe she could for once try to hear, listen, I've tried to have many conversations with you. You run away from it. You walk away. The hurt is there. And to just constantly ask me, are you mocking me now, is not helping.
So maybe you can, again, I really, it's hard for me to answer because it sounds like I have the answer. And I don't know who you are and I don't know your name. And I wish I could refer to you by your name just to else connecting and realizing that it's not, it's hard. Maybe write, again, I think we could all give suggestions. Talk is cheap. Like maybe write a letter to yourself, to her, and write it, whether you send it or not. But like, just, I can't do this. It's not good for you. You're focusing on her. I'm focusing on you. It's not good for you. It's not good for you. It might be she won't get it. Could be she won't get it. Again, I want to say this, one of my favorite lines, and I'm not saying this at you as anything insensitive. What's the line? It's one of my favorites. When we tell the child 1,000 times and the child still doesn't get it, it's not the child who's the slow learner. I'll say it again. And I'm not saying this at all to say that you're not trying your best. But again, when we tell a child 1,000 times and the child doesn't get it, it's not the child who's the slow learner. Sometimes we have to learn that sometimes people just won't get it. And to sort of get closure for yourself, try and get closure for yourself. I hope that's helpful. I know it's complex.
So does that mean I should just give in to what she wants and just say, okay, I'm all for you?
I don't think you have to do anything. I think I would go in to you and try and take care of yourself and get clear with what's bothering you and between you and you. I wouldn't worry about her so much. I know that's easier said than done.
I think you're bringing up a very important concept. Many times we want the person that hurt you to understand. You want to have the conversation. And many people that are listening know that it might never happen. So the question is, how could we continue? Because you're still, we expect them to sit down and to have the conversation and they should understand it. Then I could say, I'm oichel you. But I don't want to say it because I want them to understand me.
Hashem, and it's not what you guys think I'm going to say right now. Hashem, grant me the serenity. It's not what you think I'm going to say. Hashem, grant me the serenity to accept the people who I cannot change, the courage to change the people who I can, and the wisdom to know that that person is me.
Oh, wow.
And I'll say that again. Hashem, grant me the serenity. It's a tefillah to Hashem. Grant me the serenity to accept the people who I cannot change, the courage, and I add in the humility to change the person who I can change, and the wisdom to know that that person is me. And ready for this? That's why I said the thing about changing. I heard Reb Shaul Alter, I didn't hear it from him, but I heard someone told me that Reb Shaul Alter says, I'm not even sure because it is a goyish thing, just bear with me. He said that it could be that it's not even about changing yourself either. That's what I was saying before. Who says you could change? Who said that? The Rabbi Yisrael Salanter? It's harder to change yourself than to learn all one midah to change. And I'm expecting to change. That's when we suffer. And I say this. I say this not b'divrei Musar. I say this for myself. I'm gonna say this for myself. I think that we suffer when we're trying to be in a. If anyone wants to look up Byron Katie, I'm sorry that I'm doing this on this platform. Byron Katie, four questions. She has a great. It's Loving What Is. I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's a short book. You could look her up. Byron Katie. I think her first name is Byron, her last name's Katie. And she says something so powerful. We suffer emotionally when we're in other people's business, either God's business or other people's business. I'm trying to change God. I'm trying to change the weather. I'm trying to change the world. I'm trying to change someone else. That's when we suffer. And easier said than done. I'm not all shalom bias, all relationships comes down to that we're trying to control other people when we can barely control ourselves. I don't I control, that's a very strong word. So I'm not giving anyone Musar, and Coach Menachem, like you said it's so true. But Hashem, it's like the Ani is in Gullus. That's what I think one of the tzaddikim, I think Reb Baruch from Mezhbuz, I don't know if Reb Simcha Bunim, I got to find it. I saw it once in Or Gedal Yohu. The Ani is in Gullus. It's me. It's me. I don't mean that in like I'm the problem. It's me. It's being nicer to me. It comes down to like forgiveness, forgiving. It comes down to forgiving ourselves. I know Coach Menachem, you said that in the beginning. It sounds so cliche, but it's so true. It's like, how loving and accepting am I? That's what I was telling to the chush of a person before who was saying, like, how do I tell her? How do I tell her? How do I tell her? Tell yourself that I can't get hurt anymore. I'm done with getting hurt. I just want to be healing. Hurt, one of the guys in Yeshiva said this. I've said this a few times. I got to say it. Hurt people hurt people. I love that, which is also because hurt people also can heal people eventually. But hurt people naturally will hurt people. So this guy in Yeshiva, Yehuda Teichman, said, and healed people heal people. I mean, is that godless? So if I heal me and I focus on me and I take care of me and I'm empathic to me, and I give myself space that will overflow to everybody else.
Amazing. Okay, Rav Fisher, I don't have enough room in my chats. You ready? Coffee? Coffee?
I'm the I don't This is coffee.
This is
This
like
is
real
better than
caffeine.
this is Olam Haba. This is Olam Mecha. I just sorry. I know what you want to say. I'm telling everyone here. This is we're this is it. This is Yom Kippur. This is Ahava. This is Klal Yisrael. We're getting together because we love each other. We love each other and we want to forgive. This is beautiful. So okay, sorry, go. This is like L'chaim. This is water, by the
Ben.
way. L'chaim. Go.
Ben, you're on.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Fisher. I still remember last time you were on, and
Every time you're on, I don't feel it's just like a speaker. I feel that we're all one b'nai mishpacha. You make the mishpacha. I really say it's genuinely. I feel you're like my uncle. And I want to say this topic, you could ask Usher. I asked him over a year ago to bring up this topic, Kainahara. It's very, very.
I just want everybody to understand, and I have to pause, Ben. Ben told me about this topic and this topic of forgiveness. It's a very hard topic because forgiveness is the hardest thing that we all, everybody here, including me, especially me, struggle with. And there's people that hurt us very deeply, and it's hard to forgive. It's a very nice concept, and it sounds cute, and it's very nice. You know, like I want world hunger and peace in the world and no war, and everybody should be mindful of each other. But it's a theory. It's not reality. And I was trying to find the speaker before Yom Kippur. I was with, and then. It literally was a thought of the moment. It was a Thursday night that I texted you. I texted Rabbi Fisher. I was like, can you come on Sunday night? And Rabbi Fisher was like, I'm going to sleep. Yeah. I was like, okay, fine. Can you do this topic? He's like, So, no, he actually loved the topic. But just understand, Hashem wanted him here. I said right before the shir, like you said, by Esther Malka, got the Ace Kazois. This is the time because this is what we struggle with. And I feel, I want to say another thing that I feel. And then Rabbi Fisher, I'll let you, Ben, continue the question that. We suffer so much from people that hurt us. So people hurt us, and that's true, and that's their cheshbon and everything. But how much people that have hurt us, did we hurt ourselves more because of that hurt? Which means, again, obviously they hurt you, like Rabbi Fisher says, you're not a malach, you're a human, you feel it. But at the same time, so many years later, I see people, myself included, that are just rehashing that pain and feeling it, and it's like, it weighs on your heart. It causes like your internals to really. So, somebody said once, Moshe Gedalia Fensack says, "Forgive, forgive is actually giving. You're giving yourself. You're for giving. You're giving away all that tsar in yourself." So, as much as we want to forgive for the ruchnius and Hashem and Achinu Kol Bais Yisrael and bring Mashiach, there's got to be a selfish purpose in the forgiving. Also, if you can really forgive, you're really setting yourself free. So, when you see that person that every time you see him, you cross the street, you don't want to talk to him. And you really don't feel that inside any of you anymore, you'll be such a free person. Sorry, Ben, continue. I cut you off, but
No, amazing. I'm gonna continue. It's transition just right off of Rashi's words, and I want to say usually when I ask, I usually ask a intellectual, nice question, but it just the whole topic today is very real and emotional. I can't. It's not possible to do it so intellectually. And my question is, my story is I've been hurt. Something that's more physical. Something that's still the pain is still till today. It's not ongoing, but. And the polls were so amazing. And my answer is like, why, from the same question, why don't you want to forgive? Or it's all of the above. And the third question, it's all the above. And when I mean to say, it's 5 years already. And I've been trying, I've gone to therapy. And intellectually, Baruch Hashem, it took me over 2 years to search for the answer, why to forgive. And I got the answers of, it's when it's Hashem, or there's going to be a certain point that this pain will make you become so great one day that it's worth it to go through the pain. And that's what the process is. And, but while going through the process, there's a spiral of feelings. I want to experience this pleasure, whether they say you're poisoning yourself every time you're holding a grudge. But then you want to let go, but then you're letting the person off the hook. It's like, you can't. We want revenge. No, there's retribution. Well, every person could just step on my thing. I have to forgive because it's a religious obligation. And then tomorrow I have to forgive. It's my chiyuv. Otherwise, Hashem doesn't forgive me. Chas v'shalom. Again, I think you debunked that today almost. And then we go to the other side. It feels good to forgive, and we're trying. And then it's not going to work, but what if I don't get the reward? What if I don't become great? It's a whole spiral of emotions that's, I want to do it. I'm ready for it. And I'm trying different. I'm trying even Goyisha Mahalchem. Brandon Bays wrote a nice thing on it. I'm not sure if you heard of her, Colin Tipping. I read the books. Very inspirational Jewish books, non-Jewish books. It feels amazing, like logically, but something is just stopping it because the pain is still there. The situation, it is what it is. That person is not coming to ask forgiveness, whatever it is. And it just, how do we like, How do we go around it, or what's the step when you're ready for it, you want to take the leap, but it's not, there's a spiral of emotions and thoughts back and forth, one to another, just getting in the way, which just can't get out of the way.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I don't, like I said before, I don't, I really, I talk is so cheap, especially when we're talking about this. I'll tell you what's coming up for me, and that is that we, I'll start with this. The guys in yeshiva, sometimes when we talk about marriage, and they say, oh, but my roommate. Right. Oh, don't treat your roommate like that. You're gonna treat your wife like that. I say, no, but my wife, I love. So I'm not gonna treat my wife. So I say, isn't that funny? It's not true. I say, why? Because who do we hurt? We hurt those closest to us. That's who we hurt. We hurt those closest to us. Ready for this? Who's closest to us? Me. I'm closest to me. So I can't answer Ben. I please be in touch with me. Please give me your name. I would love to daven and stay connected. And to daven, we don't have to wait every however long I'm back, if I'm invited back to this holy platform. I'm with you. Let's learn to teach each other. I don't even like that so much, but let's remind each other. That's better. To be there for ourselves. And I know that sounds so like 2025, but it's not. It's Yiddishkeit. It's Yiddishkeit. To be there, to be, because we hurt those closest with us. Like maybe I know this is going to sound crazy, like especially from the name of this thing. Maybe we have to stop focusing so much on forgiving. Like it's okay. Forgive yourself for not forgiving. How's that? Like we have all these things like, oh, I'll feel so free, and you should, and you got to, and we like gaslight ourselves. Everyone knows what gaslighting is. If not, it basically means you're invalidating your feelings. Oh, because we I have to call Amavra El Midosev if I want Hashem, and I know if I want Hashem to forgive me, I gotta forgive, but I can't. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? As Reb Chaim Kanievsky, as he says, I can't. I can't. I just can't forgive the person. Maybe that's giving ourselves like the green light and the validation that like maybe I'm not ready to forgive the person. Maybe I need to stop forgiving. I know that's wouldn't that be funny if that's where we end up? I don't know if this was like the bomb that we're talking about, but maybe the answer is stop forgiving. And then maybe we'll forgive.
So to get some clarity, is it okay that I'm not ready to forgive?
Oh, you know, that reminds me, Coach Menachem, reminds me of the guy who came and a therapist told me this. He says, a frum guy, Erlich, a tzaddik of a guy. He says, I'm so upset at my parents, right? But I have a chiyuv of kibud avayim. So am I allowed to be upset at my parents, right? Similar kasha. So the therapist who's a tzaddik, Erlich, a guy said, you are upset at your parents. Am I allowed to be upset at my parents? You are upset at your father. I you have to forgive. You have, but I don't forgive. Hashem, I want to forgive, but I don't forgive. Should I forgive? Should we know? Anyone who knows me knows I don't like the word should. What does that mean? I should do a lot of things. I can't forgive. What am I supposed to do? I'm hurt. This person drives me crazy. This person hurt me. If you we all know the stories. These are some stories that we're talking a few chevra. Forgiving? I'm like, forgive. Forget about forgiving. Let yourself be upset for 10 years and then you'll work on what they say. I mentioned the Chedusha Rim. I think it was the Chedusha Rim also. I'm the second time I'm mentioning him tonight. Maybe it's like his yahrzeit site or something, or I don't know. S'chusa Yogein Aleinu. He says he worked for 16 years, the Chedusha Rim, 16 years on Dani L'Kaf S'chus. 16 years. 16 years. The Mesillas Yesharim at the end, Perek 22. People don't even learn there. I looked at this. Svilas el boynais. Lemi say avon. Lemi sho'iver al pesha. Who is Hashem going to forgive? Somebody who's able to forgive. Everyone, look at this. That's page, I don't know if it's backwards here. Page Kuf Yud Gimel. It's 100, it's on the 22nd parak of the Mesillas Sharm, close to Ruach HaKodesh, where the Mesillas Sharm says, oh, I'm Meichel. Okay, Hashem, so what are you going to do? You're gonna beam me up, and you're gonna beat me up because I have hurt. Mache umase, heal me, Hashem. Maybe if I'm healed, and I learn to get healed from you, which I think we're gonna talk about at the end. That's gonna be the hashlecha l'Hashem. Maybe when I'm healed, heal people. Forgive. Oh, I just fell from minashmaim. Forgive people. The reason it's hard for me to forgive is because I'm holding my own forgiveness. But when I'm going to feel totally forgiven within me, Shefa, I'll forgive the whole entire world. So Hashem, help me feel that forgiveness within me. So what are we day? No, forgive. Heal. But I'm not healed. I'm not healed. So how am I supposed to heal? Heal others. If my cup's not full, as the tzaddikim tell us, the Sadma Rebbe, they say b'shem the Sadma Rebbe, S'chusa Yagen Aleinu, they say it b'shem the Goin from the Dubna Magid, who said it b'shem the Goin, or the Goin, sorry, I think said, I don't know, one of them, Reb Shteyman quotes it, I could find the source for anybody. You overflow. So overflow for forgiveness. When I'm totally forgiven within, this is it. Hashem sent this right now. Healed people, heal people. Loving people. You can't give what you don't have. We got it. If I don't have it, I can't give it. If I got $5, I can only give $5. I'm not talking about credit cards. You can't give it. If I don't have forgiveness within me, I can't give out forgiveness. So we're focusing on the wrong person. When I point out there, I think I said this in the last one. When I point out there, I got three fingers pointing at me. I did say it on the last one. So forgive me. I'm forgiving me. The tzaddikim say that. Coach Menachem, you were the one who started off saying that. It's about forgiving, and it's easier said than done. Okay, forgive me. Asham nu.
I have to forgive myself. You ever heard this line? I heard this from some very smart guy. Tell me if you ever heard this line.
Are we going another 3 hours? I'm literally, it's the light in Eretz Yisrael is coming up. Mashiach's coming, everybody.
Do you ever hear this line? Tell me if you know this person who's mechaber this. Hashem, grant me the serenity to adopt the people I cannot change and the courage and humility to change the person who I could change and the wisdom to know that the person is me. I know you just said that.
It's out there already.
It's around. I'm getting the text about it.
I must say this one because it is also Erev Yom Kippur. I know the Olam, anyone who's heard this has heard this not enough times. Don't judge me. I know this is totally random, but I love it. Don't judge me because we sin differently. Don't judge me because we sin differently. My brother, Mike Dube told me that line, one of the best lines ever. Don't judge me because we forgive differently. I have trouble forgiving. What do you want from me? The guy beat me up. The guy's still beating me up. If I told you the stories that Coach Menachem, I have to tell you, anyone who has any conversation with somebody, what people go through, children, innocent people. And I'm not blaming anyone. It's all Hashem. It is Hashem. Oh, so you have to have more emuna. No. Relax, everybody. I have a lot of emuna. I'm just in pain. You know, it reminds me. I had a mashulach. I haven't seen him. I hope he's well. This guy is like an 80. Listen to this story. I've sent it over to the guys. Listen to this. This is Yiddishkeit. This guy is like an alta yid. He's got the mashulach, but one of those clean. I mean, every mashulach is beautiful. Every mashulach is beautiful. Every yid is beautiful. I always say, right? The mashulach always comes at the right time, right? It's a joke, right? The mashulach never comes at the right time. Right, but this guy, listen to this story. This guy was a Heusbacher by the Kloisenberger Rebbe. by the Kleisenberger Rebbe, Schusa Yagen Aleinu. He used to come to me. I haven't seen him in a while. He came to me, mamash, like an alti yid, comes to me, knocks at my door. For the first 20 minutes, he kvetches. Oi, and the this, and the oi, and the oi, and the oi, and the oi, and my back, and my this, and my parnusa, and my this. Mamash, like an alti yid, like you can imagine. Like you can imagine. Oi, and this, and the baba, oh. 10 minutes later, he says, ah, it's all from the Eibishter. It's all from the Eibishter. It's all from the Eibishter. And I tell people, that's a yid. A yid doesn't come in and say, oh, it's all good. It's all from the Eibishter. It's all from the Eibishter. Of course we know that. You kvetch. I think we got to kvetch a little bit more. How crazy is that? We got to kvetch. It's not crazy. It's beautiful. We got to kvetch more. We got to say, ugh, oi, oi, oi. And then we say it's all from the Eibishter.
Well, I love thank that. You so much.
Aaron Fisher, a lot more questions. Here we go.
Wow. How are we with the plug-in? I think we're
Hi, thank you. I have a question. You touched on it a bit, but I guess let me just say quickly. This is with my mother. She was very controlling when we were kids. We were never allowed to voice our own opinions. We weren't allowed to get dirty. Heaven forbid if we did any of those things. She used to give us lots of hugs and kisses, and we used to cringe, and she didn't like that. But we didn't really connect to her. And now as a married adult, she can handle that. She can't control us. So like we do our own things, and we never did that when we were children because we weren't able to. And now we kind of could. So she has a very hard time with that. And she criticizes a lot of what we're doing. She'll mix in her like hugs and kisses with words, you know, the same way she did it as kids, but it means nothing because of all the criticism that she gives us. My question, like, she's gotten to a point where like it hurt us so much that I've told, like, I've said to, let's say, my husband once that, like, if she were to die that day, I wouldn't cry. Like, I would be fine with it. And I've even told my father that it's harder to have her as a mother than not to have a mother. So my question is, right this minute, I'm like good with her. For some time, I didn't really speak to her at all. I randomly text pictures of the kids to like keep connected, but not speaking is best. Right now, I'm good. I'm going for Yom Tov. I don't know how smart that is, but we're going. When she, my question is, if it gets to that point again, I don't like that I felt that way about my mother, that I'd be happy for her to die. So. Sorry. I guess my question is, how do you come to a place where you don't ever feel that way and you could forgive the person and not let that person hurt you?
I don't. If I could just have a bracha from you, that's all I could say. We should all just get a bracha from you. I don't know what to say. I have nothing to say. You're a tzedekas.
Why? Why do you think so? I feel gross that I think that way about her.
That's exactly why you're a tzedekas. I don't have. I would be stupid to say anything. How could I say something? You're great. I'm humbled by you. So if I can be selfish and just get a bracha from you, and all of us, daven for Mashiach, because your tefillos are incredible. I could say all the lines in the world. I mean, you're the nachas ruach. What do I know? I don't know anything. The world stands on people like you. It's not me. Chazal say it. Toile, Chazal say toile, toile eretz al blima. What is the world standing on? It says it's standing on people like you. It says it's on someone who is being hurt. Shomea cherpasan ve'enan meshivim. It's in the 22nd chapter of Mesillas Yesharim. So you're holding by the 22nd chapter on the Mesillas Yesharim. I'm still by the introduction. So please daven for me and my family, and I would tell everybody here, sending the names to you, and daven for everybody, because we're holding on a very high level. I'm sorry that I'm not answering your question, but I'm being honest.
Rabbi Fisher, could you help her forgive herself a little bit, so she doesn't feel, so she doesn't...
She doesn't have to, sorry, Coach, she doesn't have to forgive herself either.
Feel ugly.
She doesn't have to. She could feel ugly if she wants to feel ugly. She doesn't have to forgive herself either. You're perfect
you.
The way you are, more than perfect. And I'm not joking. If you could please, someone could get me, I wanted bracha from me, for my family, for the yeshiva. That's Klal Yisrael. This woman is Klal Yisrael. Who talks like that? Only a yid, only a beautiful yid talks like that. I'm controlled my whole life. My own mother made my life miserable. All the therapists would say, you chuck her out the window. And here this chashuva person is saying, how do I learn to not hate her and not want her to die? Mi kamcha Yisrael, the Kleisenberger Rebbe, would stand up for you. You don't have to do anything. Just daven for me. Okay, that might be a little bit selfish. Daven for everybody. Daven for Klal Yisrael. You should get names. You should get names from people. I'm not joking. I know this sounds crazy. Daven for Shidduchim for people. Daven for Refuas for people. I'm sorry, Coach Menachem. I'm just sharing how I felt what I was saying.
I hear you.
Thank you.
Thank you. She's thanking me. You're welcome. Thank you.
Very sure. Let's go to the next question. Hi, you're on.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm actually so touched from this lady. May you have menuchat ha-nefesh. So my question is like this. My daughter has been bullied throughout high school by her cousin. And I would just tell her, be mevater. Don't pay attention to it. And then I noticed this year that this past year, last year, it's gotten worse, because then it included other girls. And I saw that it affected my daughter, not only emotionally, but also physically. And she would get constant headaches, throwing up, skip a lot of school days, pop in Tylenol right and left. And it just, it got bad. It got bad. And to a point where I had to switch her this year to a different school. My question is, it sort of escalated to the parents, and now Erev Rosh Hashanah, we were getting together for meals. My father-in-law called me and said, we need to get these girls together, and she had they we got to make peace over here because you're going to have a meal, we're going to have meals together, and I can't, I'm an old man, I can't see my kids fighting. I, you know, we need to figure this out. And I heard him, and I said, okay, you know, let me see, let me try to get her to come. And she wouldn't hear of it. And it was very hard for her. She also felt the same way like the lady spoke before. She would wish death upon her. She would, I don't know what. I'm never going to forgive her for the rest of my life. It was like an unhealthy relationship, friendship, and it just controlling and, but bullying at the same time. And it got, so she wouldn't hear of it. And I felt bad. I wasn't sure like how to go about it. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. We're about to have a meal tonight, and by my in-laws. But you know, I have to please my father-in-law. So I was back and forth the whole day. It took me a few hours, but I ended up forcing my daughter to go. I ended up forcing her. And I could tell, like, when the girl came to ask for forgiveness. Like, you know, I'm sorry what I put you through. And I don't know, it was a crazy, like, it's crazy, I know, and I'm sorry and whatever. And do you forgive me? So my daughter said, yes. But like I felt like she was doing it to please my in-laws, to please. And of course, before that, I told her, you're doing it for Shem Shemayim, you're doing it for your grandfather, you're doing it for yourself. You're going to see tremendous bracha. You know, at the end of the day, this all happened because it's all from Hashem. And I would like, these are the words I would tell my, like I told my daughter. But then the holiday came, and she still, again, like she had a hard time coming, and she sat by the table, she took two bites, and I turn around, she's gone. And now, and she said, I can't face her. I can't face her. Sukkot is coming now. I don't know what to do about it. I don't know, did I do the right thing? Did I not do the right thing? Did I, by forcing her to forgive? That's my question.
It's hard to talk on this forum, personal things like this to you. I don't know you, and I respect that you're on this platform, and I think, again, I it's hard to just give like eitzes like this. It's, you have to be there for your daughter. You have to, you can't force anybody to forgive, and she's been hurt. It's not an unhealthy friendship. You said unhealthy friendship. She was bullied. She was hurt, and you have to protect your daughter. I'm sorry. I know it's hard for me to like tell you, like, I think if it was my father, if it was my mother, I'd want them to protect me and to take care of me and not worry about, again, I'm not judging you. There's zero judgment, zero. That's what I'm saying. It's hard to even answer. How old is your daughter?
She's 17.
Yeah.
She had to switch her last year. Now she's in 12th grade. I put her in a different school.
Because of this.
Okay. And unfortunately, like, everyone knew, like, my daughter left because of that. And they all felt bad that they didn't stick up for her. And yeah. They all tried to make her feel better by coming to visit and sending her gifts and dropping off things. The principal also very involved and felt terrible about it. She spoke about it in class, and she spoke to the girls.
I'm not judging anyone, but not bad enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mavakesh, the Nirduf. We are the downtrodden, the Jewish people. We always have to protect the victim. The victim is the one we protect. We don't protect the bully. We protect the victim. Oh, bullies are also hurt. It's a good kasha. Bullies hurt. Bullies are also hurt. That's a different thing. You got to get the bullies out. You got it. The bully should be in the other school, and your daughter needs to be in that school. And I'm not judging any principal. I'm not judging. I don't want. That's what I'm saying. It's hard on this forum. It's our responsibility to stick up for the victim. There's too many victims. I have to tell everybody, there are too many molestations. There's too much bullying. Bullying destroys people. There's too much. And Chas V'Shalom, Klal Yisrael is beautiful. We have to stick up for the victim. We have to stick up more. And I'm not chas v'shalom, and I mean this. I would love to talk to you privately about this. I'm not. It's a tough forum to talk about you and the situation. I'm not giving you mussar b'chlal. We need all of us together. All of us need to. I'm not waiting for the principles anymore. Principles are amazing. I don't want to hear that the victim had to switch to school. I want to hear that the bully had to switch to school. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care what yichus they have. The bully is the one that needs the bully, right? Whoever made up that thing, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me, is a lie. It's not true. Make ish beseser is talking about lashon hara. You hurt people. You could kill people like that. And I'm not judging your niece or the cousin. I'm not judging anyone. I'm not judging the bully. I don't care. We gotta strengthen the victim. Klal Yisrael's of maybe that's whatever. I don't. It's hard to talk like this Erev Yom Kippur because everyone's beautiful and everyone's amazing. We're the victim. Klal Yisrael's the victim. We have to stand up for each other. I hope that wasn't too harsh.
No, not at all. Thank you so much. I just wanted to know, like, moving forward, of course, I'm going to get her help to speak to somebody.
Is that, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I, you know, it's very hard to when you know, you want to please the in-laws and there's a holiday and meals and it's very, very hard. It's such a delicate line. Like,
yeah. I'm not, that's what I'm saying. I'm not judging you at all. And I respect that you're on and talking about this and publicly and I mamish mean that from the depth of my heart. Your daughter needs you. Your father-in-law is not your responsibility. I don't like that word so much. You have to take care of your daughter. Whether that means, and again, I'm not getting into pratim, even if that means apologizing, I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm saying sometimes I need to apologize to my children. I need to apologize to my wife. I need to apologize because sometimes I don't, like I said before, we hurt those closest to us. You're closer to your daughter than you are to your father-in-law. And I'm not giving you mussar. I mean that. I hope this is coming off okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it so much. It's a wonderful class. Thank you.
Does it feel right what I'm saying? Does it?
It's perfect. It's perfect. I felt that way also. I just needed like someone to tell it to me.
Right. And stand up for your daughter to the principal and to everyone, not in a negative way, that your daughter feels it.
Yes. Yes. No, she does. Baruch Hashem, she does. And that's why she came with me, even though like she saw how much it means to me to come and just do it for the Shem Shemayim, for my father-in-law and everything. But it was hard. It was hard. Like, it's hard. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's go to the next question. Hi, sorry, you on.
Hi, Rabbi Fisher. It seems like a lot of the questions were answered, but there is something in recurrence. I'm getting this recurrent theme of a situation that doesn't change no matter how hard you try. I came from a family. I consider I had a raw deal in many respects also. I won't go into details, but I felt like I was moving on, but the problem always comes back in the shape of a sibling. And he hasn't really gotten his act together, and I'm, yeah, he was hitting on me for money or some latest scheme or whatever. And then it brings up the whole memories of, you know, our upbringing. And then, I get back into a non-forgiveness mode. You know, so I went into Rosh Hashanah with the biggest anxiety. And sure enough, he tried to call me later. And so I'm going to Yom Kippur, just a lot of I don't know what to do with with a situation that doesn't easily change, a person that doesn't easily change. Yes, I try to change myself and try to create boundaries, but it's still a painful thing, and it brings up painful issues. I don't know how you deal. I don't know how I can maybe, I don't say protect myself and change my thinking. Yeah, I want to help him. I wish I can. I've got my limits too. And it's been a demoralizing experience. And I say, I'm thank God I overcame a lot in my life, but I don't really feel ennobled by it. I just feel glad to have survived and moved on in a certain way. But it is a very painful thing to watch the other person, and I don't know really what to do without, harming myself, getting too involved, and at the same time, time watching him sort of drift. I mean, I don't know how you would like handle that kind of situation, maybe mentally, practically. I'm not the world's most practical person, that's for sure. I mean, I'm trying to help him, with money. I'm trying to help him with support, but it's not an it's it keeps coming back though, no matter what. So what do you do in that?
Yeah. Do you have someone who can be there for you? It
Not
sounds
really.
like, right. So maybe first of all, it's very special that you're here together with everybody. I think that's good for us all, and it's probably good for you to have the support. Sometimes when we have people leaning on us, like I said before, one of the reasons that I go to therapy is not so much to work on my problems, even though I have a lot to work on. That's not primary reason that I'm still in therapy. I'm in therapy because I need to lean sometimes and just need my space that I could complain to somebody and I could lean on someone and I could be there. Baruch Hashem, I have my wife as well, and I have friends and I have other people. I have the Bachrim. Obviously, it's different. I don't lean on them, but
Outlets,
I'm with Chaverim. I don't consider them my students as much as I consider them my Rebbeim. And my friends deeper than so
I have a nice community. I live in a nice
that's
community.
great. Well, I think you
Not
need
alone,
I think just I would look for strength. It's not so much about changing your who is it you said your brother your
Just sort of my
relative. It's
problems
so
with
much it's not
current.
it's more getting the help that you need, and I think for all of us, it's not just for you. I think for all of us, I think we need people who strengthen us and who give us because Baruch Hashem, Hashem made it that you're there for someone. And I think all of us play that role many times to be there for other people. And we have to remember that we need support so we could be supportive for other people. And so that's my humble suggestion to you would be, get people who could be there for you. Like the fact that you're here on this podcast and you're here on this Coach Menachem, and you're asking a question. I hope this is supportive and strengthening for you. That's
Oh,
very.
I drive them crazy with my questions.
Yeah,
No,
I'm
that
enjoying
man.
this is
Well,
great.
Kaisara is my is our is our
Okay,
Kaisara is our is part of Coach Menachem. She's part of the
well, wow. Kaisara, thank you. You didn't drive me crazy at all. You made me more sane.
Well, thank you. No, this is the
Thank
other
you.
people, but I'm really I know I'm not alone. I'm not trying to play a martyr contest either or anything. It's just hearing the problems that people I can
Yes,
sort of
we need
relate to
support.
a lot.
We need the strength also, Hashem should help that the people around you will be stronger for you and will be there for you, that you can lean on them. We all need people to lean on.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very special. Let's take the last two, three more because you're waking up and I'm getting tired. Okay, hi. How are you?
Holy.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you so much for being here. I came up with a way to function through the pain, like instead of blaming the abuser, I came up with this like way of dealing is like I treat him like para and not cherish, like Hashem hardened the heart. So if I was gonna blame him for all the terrible things he did, then I also have to thank him. Like I end up moving to Lakewood because his idea was to move to Lakewood. But I don't want to thank him, so I can't blame him. So when things get really hard and the pain is
Well, I'm
so
sorry, I missed
overwhelming.
the beginning. I'm sorry. What, who, what, I
Okay, so
missed.
this is an ex-husband.
Oh, an ex. Okay, I missed. That was
Yeah,
the part
no,
I'm
it's
stressed.
okay.
Sorry,
He's
sorry.
so he's like a really terrible evil person. So you can't
Okay.
blame an evil person, right? Because Hashem just made it that way. Because if I would drown in it, and there's no point. I mean, like, great, right? So
Right.
the long and the short of it, he wasn't from for many years. I stayed married, raised my kids. After we finally got divorced, he kind of stole my kids. So
Oy.
living with the pain, I end up turning to Hashem, and like, you blame Hashem because you can't blame this crazy person, right?
Yeah.
That pain is really hard.
Yeah.
So what do we do with that? And then, of course, you see the Yad Hashem, and there's a beautiful world, and Baruch Hashem, and you have a beautiful new husband, you have beautiful stepkids. I have a great job. I do preschool, so I have my 12 children. I call, I have a lot going, but that pain,
Yeah.
what do we do? How do you function? Like, how do you? And you have time.
Which one? The pain of you have to, it sounds like there are a few, meaning the pain of your ex-husband and the pain
No,
on
there is
that.
no pain on my ex-husband because he's
No.
crazy. He's
But
just.
I mean, if someone smacks me over the head and they're crazy, it doesn't mean it doesn't
No, if
hurt
someone's.
my head.
Right. No, so it's the hurting the head. But if someone's like retarded, right, you wouldn't say.
But it's still right. I don't mean to.
Right.
Obviously,
No,
it's you.
no.
But one of the things that I always tell people is that when I bang my knee, and my knee is throbbing, and it's like ouch, 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 and I say, "That's from Hashem. That's from Hashem." I'm still able to feel the throbbing of my knee. For some reason, Hashem made it that it's like ouch, ouch, ouch. I know it's from Hashem, but ouch, ouch, ouch. For some reason, when it comes to emotional pain. Once I bring Hashem in, I'm not allowed to feel that emotional pain, and that's not true.
No, I do feel it, but I blame Hashem for it, not this crazy person, because he's crazy.
Right. So what's your question?
So that pain, that feeling, so you're coming
Yeah.
before Yom Tov, which is like insane.
Yeah.
Everyone's
So.
living a normal life, everyone has their normal reality, and you're just in this alternate reality. You talk about
I
sitting in
think
that
the short of
pain.
what you're saying is when somebody goes through something tzara, and then they basically sort of accept it and they look at the good that came from it. At the end of the day, 10 years later, 15 years later, 20 years later, the lasting pain that's still there, how do we like sort of, I guess, massage it to make it feel
He's
better?
like, no, it right. So it's before Yom Tov, right? And the pain is so overwhelming. So we're gonna go through
Explain
another Yom
why
Tov and
before
another
Yom
Yom
Tov.
Tov and another Yom Tov, like,
Explain what before Yom Tov. Why is it so painful before Yom Tov? Explain.
because all you want are your kids home,
So your kids are not home.
they're not home. You have, a 20-year-old, an 18-year-old, you have a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old, and they should be with me, and they're just not, and it's not fair, it's not okay. So who am I blaming? What am I doing? You. Screaming
It's
at a
not okay.
crazy person, you can't. So you scream at Hashem and you're crying. What? Forget forgiveness. Forget just the pain and the survival and getting through.
Forgiveness. I mean forgiveness.
Saying forget forgiving. I'm not up to
You
forgiving.
need forgiveness.
There's no to forgive anyway. There's nothing. All I have is Hashem, right? So I look at this father, this who loves me, but why would he put me through this?
Ask him that and tell him more and more. And keep on telling him I can't handle this and I need my children home. Just like you need your children home. Hashem, you need your children home. I need my children
I
home.
do this all the time, and yet,
No.
and
Ani
when.
mom, I don't have what to tell you. I could just tell you that we gotta just keep on knocking. Keep on saying, Hashem, you want your children home. I want my children home. I want my children home. I need my children home. You know what that feels like, Hashem. And I just need it. I need it. Do miracles, Hashem. Do miracles. Do miracles. Yeshua's Hashem Kerafayan. And Bez Hashem, they're going to tell me on this, Coach Menachem and Usher, you're going to tell me that something happened. Mitzvah Hashem b'schus that you're here and your tefillah, your kids will come home. They will come home.
So we had a little bit of a breakthrough. My 18-year-old started reconnecting.
Right.
So still, like, I want more. Like, I don't want her. I
Good.
want
Knock
more.
them home. Yes. Bring
Even
them home.
her, she has so much
Bring
more in
them
her.
home. Not politically. Bring them home.
Yeah.
Bring them home. Hashem, bring them all home. We're not satisfied till every child is safe, in bed, cuddled up with their loving mother, and I'm not satisfied. I will stand and scream and cry and beg until every child is home.
Got it.
And okay. Send me your name. Send me your name so we'll daven that all your children will come home to you, to a loving mother and someone who's going to take care of them.
Thank you.
Okay, Rabisha, one more last live one, then we'll go to the closing segment.
Closing segment. Hi. Mashiach is the closing. Is the closing segment.
Mashiach is coming. He's waiting for us to finish up. He's waiting for us. He's ready to come now, but we have to finish. Hi, how are you?
Yeah, hi. So Charlie Kirk was killed because, why? Because people were threatened by his opinions. He didn't do anything personal. He just, his opinions were like threatening to certain people. Imagine what a goy does. And Mika Amcha Yisrael, I think Hashem is so, so, so proud. These women, they don't even realize they want to forgive. There's nothing more beautiful. And forgiveness, it's like an onion. It comes in layers, and it's a different timeline for everyone, just like grief.
Nice.
There's no right amount of time. It can take years. It really can take years. And especially if the hurt is very fresh, it's sometimes premature to forgive. Don't even expect it of yourself. And just some thoughts. First of all, talking to Hashem is the most helpful. Telling Hashem, I'm so angry. I can't forgive him. I don't want to forgive him. And then you don't have to fully forgive. When you're ready, you can forgive in little parts. Let's say you can work on maybe not wishing for the person to die, but not forgiving. And then when you're up to it, you know, for everyone, it's going to be a different timeline. When you're up to it, just davening to Hashem, the person shouldn't get punished. I'm not forgiving him, but don't punish him because of me. And then another thought, sometimes there's also a part of a person that is also afraid to let go of the, afraid of forgiving, because it's like pain is like almost sacred sometimes. The fear of losing a part of yourself if you let go of this pain. So it's just an awareness. Sometimes we're afraid. We're afraid we're going to lose a part of ourselves. But yeah.
Amazing. Oh, shoot. We don't need to call that the great closing over here. This is like, wow.
That was the pre-closing. That was like the warm-up pitch.
That was amazing. That's a tough.
Okay. Let's roll into the closing segment. First of all,
thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you.
Okay, first of all, shkoyach for Rabbi Yonah Fisher waking up middle of the night to spend hours with us and giving us tremendous chizik on one of the most important topics on Coach Menachem that we ever spoke about. Again, if anybody's here the first time, every Sunday night at 9 p.m., the Zoom ID, we have amazing shurim. And tonight, for the people that was there to be here, and hopefully the people that hear before Yom Kippur, to be part of one of the best Coach Menachem shurim that we ever had. That Shem should have an amazing yontiv, and everybody should spend time with their families.
Amen.
Everybody should be at peace with themselves and forgiving themselves and get the love and the support that they need. Next year is October 19th, Sunday after Sukkot. Everything is recorded on CoachMenachem.com. You go to MenachemBernfeld.com to see it on the website. You can email CoachMenachem@gmail.com with any questions, any coaching advice. If anybody needs the best life coach in the world, Coach Menachem is available. CoachMenachem@gmail.com. Tonight's share is 245. If you want to listen to it on the phone line, the number is 732-305-9011, 732-305-9011. A special thank you to all the advertising sponsors of Lakewood Scoop, Ellie and Arrow, Five Town Central, Chaylikov from JCN. And now for the closing segment, I'll go first, Rabbi Fisher, if that's okay. Followed by Coach Menachem. And then Rabbi Fisher, you're gonna leave us with Dvarim, you know, Dvarim Hayotzim and Alev after such a powerful share of 2 hours with us. So I'm going to say that this is a very powerful topic for me. It's something that people have hurt us in our life, some intentional, some not intentional, some people just don't even realize they hurt people, but the pain that we suffer, we hold it within us for years and years and years. And we all want to get to the place that we want to release that pain. Obviously, there's a spiritual aspect of letting go. And if Hashem sees how we're Meichel, hopefully we Meichel us. And then there's the, if I do good, you do good. Be Meichel, be Meichel, be Meichel. But you're in pain. That's all true. But then there's the bigger part for me is for me to be so geschmack and enjoy life where I'm not bogged down by the pain of being hurt. And like the woman just said at the end, like everything works in phases, right? Obviously, somebody cuts you off. You could be upset for a minute or somebody, you know, whatever. It'll take you an hour to get over it. Somebody who steals $100 from you will take you a day to get over it. Somebody who steals from you your life savings, somebody, you know, who hurts your whole life, somebody who hurts your kids, like the woman said. These takes years and years, and that's part of the process. And I said this word once before. I said to Menachem, I'm just going to say it. Like, Hashem wants us to connect to us. I heard this word once. There's a very weird mitzvah, Rabbi Fisher. The mitzvah on Purim, to be drunk, that you shouldn't know the difference between how evil Haman is and how such a tzaddik Mordechai was. What type of mitzvah is this? The weirdest mitzvah in the world. Mitzvah should be so cuckoo, I don't know who's good and who's bad. So I've heard from somebody in the spiritual sense what this saying is. God wants us to connect to Him when times in our life like Baruch Haman, when we're in a good state, we're positive, our mindset's good, we're feeling good. And Hashem also wants us to connect to us like our Haman. So that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is that Hashem wants us when we're in all stages of life. So yes, we want to be free of all the pain, and yes, we want to live this life of pure bliss. That's one type of connection. There are times in life that things are better and you can connect with Hashem. And then there's times where you can connect with Hashem on such a deep level when we're in the worst of the worst, when we're in the Memtesh Ha'aretz, the Memtesh depression, the Memtesh pain. And that's what Hashem wants from us. So when we're in that time, when you feel like when the girl was talking tonight and she was crying, that she had such feelings for her mother, like she's in like the she's like touching the Kisei Kavod because she's dealing with such pain and she's not running and she just wants to learn how to get over it. She's not looking to kill her mother. She's not figuring out why she's right. She's on such a high level because Rav Fisher is trying to point out, like, she's not saying, throw away my mother, I don't want to talk to her anymore, right? I don't want this. She's a psychopath. She's accepting it and trying to swallow it, which is a hard pill. So, but I want to just say, like, if we could just work on ourselves to get the number one support that we need to feel loved and to learn to go through the process of forgiving, like, it's a stage. The bigger it is, we can get to a really good place in the same way. And you know, all the things that people are saying, like, think about it. But she's saying that the woman with her kids don't come to her fiancé. Like, that's what Hashem says about us, right? Hashem gives us life, gives us air, he gives us money, he gives us food. But the one or two things that Hashem really hurts us, we like hate him for it. Like we're so angry at him. How could he make me struggle for money? How could he make my this or my kid not good? And we curse out Hashem, Hashem kavyachol, like we're so angry at him, but he gives us everything good. But we do the same thing with our relationships, right? We have parents that bring us into the world and then they hurt us. So those few things they hurt us with, like we can't let go of that. We fight with it. So we want Hashem to forgive us for all our things, but we can't. So just understand the contrast here. That's what Hashem deals with. Hashem gives Klal Yisrael everything, and he loves us. And we just, the same midah that we're asking from Hashem, we need a little bit try to do it in ourselves. But first, loving yourself and doing it from a place of understanding that it's a tremendous thing that we're asking. This year tonight that you heard, and all the pain you heard tonight, was not to say, oh, tomorrow I'm happy and I forgive everybody. It's to say, no, I want to be healthy and I want to be good. And I want to really, really get to the place that I could let go because I trust that this pain comes from Hashem. And I know that I have support and I know that I'm good. And with the right process, it takes time. And as time goes on, you sort of learn to accept it. And in that pain, in the pain, when you're in the pain, to connect, say, Hashem, I'm in so much pain now. Like, you know, we always imagine the person's being killed, I'll kill Hashem. Like, he's on the highest level of God. We're in that pain. We can connect on such a high level. It's very hard to connect with Hashem when you're sitting, you know, driving, flying first class and everything is perfect in your life. Like, oh God, I love you so much. You're amazing. Connect in the, you know, the Mimamukim Krisicha Hashem when you're in the depths, when you're in the pits. Anyway, Rabbi Fisher, we love you. Coach Menachem.
Thank you.
So I want to first of all thank you, Rabbi Fisher. And there's a lot of pain. We heard a lot of pain tonight. And I want to thank Hashem. In another few days, we're going to have the Sfus, have Yom Kippur. What we heard tonight, no matter where you are, no matter what you're feeling, you're part of it. We are going to have Salachti. Salachti Kedvarecha. Be clean. To sit with that. Take it in and thank Hashem. Start fresh. So tonight there's a lot of lot of pain. Welcome to human emotions. And like we hear a lot of the Yiddish guilt, because we want to be good. Hashem, this is because we want. And like we heard tonight, whether it's forgiving yourself, learning how to connect to yourself, and it's okay. And even if you're in a place where you can't forgive yourself, that's also okay. You can't? No. Hashem should help us. We should be zoicha. Just sitting here in this moment, seeing where we are after. Not easy, not easy. And we want to, in a way, we want to run away from it. We want to become better. We want to heal. But it, no. Hashem, please help us. So thank you. Thank you very much. And everybody should have a gemach simetov and a geshmak in yomtov, the best as possible.
Man.
Especially sitting with this chashra crowd for over 2 hours.
Wow.
It's yours. The closing is yours. The varma yitzman aleiv.
I know it's late for everyone. It's early for me now. I don't want this to end, and it's not going to end, because what we did tonight is nitzchias, and it'll go forever and ever. I just want to end with one small thing from the tzaddikim. This is not for me. Just a thought that I always say, and I think about at Ni'ila. I'll try and be as quick as I can. It's so funny at Ni'ila, at like the finale of it all, where you would think we would say Al-Khayt, 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 Al-Khayt. We don't say Al-Khayt. We don't say Al-Khayt. We say Hashem, but we don't say Al-Khayt. You would think at the climax of forgiveness and becoming, you know, whatever that forgiveness is, you know, it's the million-dollar question. So how do I finally achieve, you know, this forgiveness? And comes Ni'ila time, and we don't do Al-Khayt, Al-Khayt, Al-Khayt. And it once hit me, because the only way to achieve that real deep forgiveness is sometimes letting go and letting go and saying, Hashem, I can't forgive. It's hard for me to forgive. I can't change. I can't. I just can't. And I need you to help me. I need, it's not about me holding on and holding on. It's about you. I think they say the story, the Chavetz Chaim says, it's like the guy or the person who gets a ride and they're holding a peckle. They're holding a big, heavy bag, and the wagon comes and picks them up. And they're holding this big peckle, sitting in the back seat, holding the peckle. And the wagon driver turns back to the person and says, why are you holding the peckle? You could put the peckle down. I'm giving you a ride anyway. I think, I can't answer the question, but I think, I'm going to end off with the Kleisenberger Rebbe. Anyone can look this up. I think we have to try and say, Hashem, I can't. I can't do it. I can't do it. I need you to do it. And listen to this from the Kleisenberger Rebbe. And I'll end off with this. Ashamnu, this is the Rebbe who went through the Holocaust. He lost 11 children and his wife in the Holocaust, murdered. Ashamnu, did we sin? Bagadnu, he said this after the war in the DP camps. Bagadnu, were we unfaithful? Were we, God forbid, unfaithful to God and failed to remain loyal to him? Gazalnu, did we steal? Who did we steal from in Auschwitz and Moldorf? Maradnu, we rebelled? Against whom? We rebelled against you, Master of the Universe? This vidui, said the Rebbe, was not written for us. He concluded, and he closed his machzer. But he thundered anew. We are guilty of sins that are not written in the Machzor. How many times did many of us pray, Master of the universe, I have no more strength. Take my soul so I will not have to recite Moda Ani anymore. It's too painful for me. We must ask Hashem to restore our faith and trust in Him. Trust in Hashem forever. Pour your heart out to Him. From the Kleisenberger Rebbe, Schusa Yagen Aleinu. A Gemar Chesima Toiva to all of us, to all of Klal Yisrael. We should be Zoiche this year to the Gula Shlema Mashiach. All of our pain will be healed. All of the children will come home. We'll come home to the Beis HaMikdash. I have no words to thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Fisher. Everybody have a Gemar Chesima Tova. Have a great Yom Kippur. Hope you listen to the share a few times. I'll take it in. And you should have an amazing Yom Tov. And we'll see you all October 19th. And Rabbi Fisher, we all love you. You're amazing. Thank you.
Love you. We'll see you in Eretz Yisrael.
Amen. Take care. Yeah.